Hey Ben, what's going on?
Not much, Jake. I've been a bit ill, actually.
Ill. I did notice that you've got you're famous. I would suggest you're famous for your big all-in-one headphones that you wear, the noise cancellers.
You've only got
the one ear tuned in there. Is that, should I take that personally?
Actually, I mean, you should, yes. It's. I don't think it's related, although I never brought that up with the doctor that maybe it was in a...
And it just had too much garbage listening. Float through your ear.
Yeah, yeah, it could just be that, but...
garbage buildup.
Now, I've had this inner ear infection for about 5 days, and let me tell you, it's grim. It's actually really grim.
I mean, this sounds like... I mean, I've lived a very lucky life medically as well as in many other areas, but there's nothing worse than an ear infection. And I'm saying that from a pretty clean bill of health, touch wood, but
yeah.
Ear infections are bad. And I went through a stage where they were like swapping ears and they couldn't work out what was going on. Had a little bit of a perforation in the drum, but yeah, there's it's bad stuff in it. How have you coped? How have you listened to your favourite tunes?
I haven't. I've gone cold turkey with headphones altogether for the last since Thursday.
You've been a bit like Footloose then.
Tuesday now, yeah.
Been a little bit like the town Footloose. Just haven't been able to listen to music and enjoy it.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Footloose?
I haven't. I know the story and I know the characters.
I reckon in our time at school, St. Alita might have done a version of Footloose.
That's probably why I never wanted to watch it.
Oh, you were too cool for the theatre folk, were you?
No, and I'm not here to be grilled because I'm still trying to recover from the antibiotics and the very strong painkillers. And you can see I'm very pale still looking at myself, actually.
You don't look well. There's no doubt about
but the show must go on. And, don't wish an inner ear infection on anyone. And wouldn't watch Footloose either. So there's my hot tips for the week.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
You just want to talk footy or what?
Yeah, just to get us started, we got a bit of fan mail during the week.
We did. Blow up.
I can't say anything without you just.
Well, I mean, who said it? First of all, who's still sending mail?
Well, that's very true.
Yeah, it must. I would assume it would be laced with explosives.
I think this type of mail can only be sent because it's a footy record from August 6th. 1960.
I can see it now. We're obviously doing the Zoom chat here, and but I'm interested in the main point. I'm now interested in is how someone would consider sending us that and thinking that is fan mail. That's where.
Well,
can you elaborate on how someone's like, you know, he's gonna love this, Jake and Ben.
I can't elaborate on what they were thinking, but the reason I said fan mail, because it also then puts out to the audience that if you do ever want to send us fan mail, we are absolutely open to it.
What's the address? What's the best postal address?
I'm not giving the postal address. Maybe
how are they going to send the mail?
Well, should we get a post office? But just a not a residential address.
I couldn't imagine a greater waste of money than you and I having a joint PO box.
I know. As I said at the top of the show, Jake, I am not doing my best.
Although,
cut me some slack.
Andy Lee gets all that stuff sent to him, his post box. I mean, he's got a bigger following than us. He has a PO box and it's his Instagram bio. And so businesses just send him stuff and then once every few months he'll go to the PO box, collect all this stuff and then do Instagram giveaways.
Really?
So he like opens it up and it'll be like a new golf hat or something and he'll be like, right, this is going to random Instagrammer at Ben Franzini. And then like, and so he'll be like, go through all the list of stuff that he's got.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, except so we start a post box assuming that we'll get companies that want to send us stuff and we'll do a live giveaway.
Let's look into it. Let's look into it. And obviously, because we are the Magoos, we're not going to be giving away, you know, top golf hats and, you know, Titleist and Titleist bloody polos and new balls and stuff like that.
You're really stuck on golf.
Because, well, you've put golf. Look, I'm telling you now, I'm not feeling my most creative, Jake. So you've got a couple of golf balls right there.
I do have. And it was in a giveaway thanks to our great friend Shura Taft.
Oh, really?
He helped link me up with these Chrome Soft Tour Performance with a soft feel, new and improved Callaway. So,
how did you get your hands on that? By the way, we're gonna have to put a nice bow tie on all of these three stories that we're just going on tangents on now.
Well, that's what we do best. We go off on tangents. It's Shura was doing an Instagram live with Mick Fanning, and the best the best questions on Callaway's Instagram got a Callaway prize. And then, so
did you ask him if he found out what's really going on with sharks?
I didn't, because I really wanted to angle something that would be prize worthy, because I was hoping I might get a new driver or something. But
that's the difference between you and I would have asked him about the sharks for sure.
I'm sure someone would have. I'm sure Shura did, actually. I believe they mentioned it. But yeah, so now I've got, what's that? Three lots of four? Four lots of three? 12? I've got 12 golf balls hit straight in the water as soon as we're allowed.
Very good.
What were we talking about? Fan mail.
The original thing was the fan mail. But before we get to the fan mail, we have to tick off the second.
Before we get to the fan mail.
No, because we have to tick off the second thing, the tangent that we went on, which was the prize giveaway. I don't think we don't go with the new and shiny things. I think we could probably delve deep into if anyone in the audience has just something that's footy related, but just absolute dog shit that their family have kept.
Hang on. So you're now trying to organise a Magoo's hard rubbish collection.
Yes, absolutely. There has
to
be.
End up with a pram with like three legs and, you know, all this sort of rubbish. Old scooters with flat tyres that.
No, I'm not talking about scooters with flat tyres. We don't want hard rubbish. I want a signed photo of, you know, an obscure player from the 90s or the early 2000s, like that your family, that it's not an heirloom, so it doesn't mean much, but at the same time would be awesome if you wanted it too. So then we could just, you know, one man's trash is, in this case, another man's trash more likely, but I think it's got legs.
What's the plan for us when we obtain these items? Give them away.
Way somehow. I mean, I've just thought of this right now, so you can't be poking too many holes in it.
I don't want to poke two holes in it. I know your ear hurts too, but look, we can definitely workshop it. I think there's definitely something there to run with. Why not?
Yep.
But now back
or even
back,
like
back
American Pickers. Do you ever watch American Pickers on Seven Mate? Or
is that like when they buy the lockers? They buy the big shipping containers.
That's
American
one
Pickers?
Of them. But yeah, the one I'm more thinking of is like when they flip things that they think are worth money.
Right.
So we
I
could
don't
do
have a lot of stuff that's worth money. In fairness.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Neither do I. I'm down to half a headphone.
So the fan mail, is that worth anything?
Well, what I was going to say about the show, about the pickers, this is where I'm just going with this idea, is instead of people sending them in, because that would be too easy, Jake, I think once we're allowed to visit other people's homes, we could do our own sort of pickers where we go on Marketplace, on Facebook Marketplace or Gumtree or whatever, and find these obscure things ourselves. Say they're worth $10, we get them down to, you know, $8.50, and then we come on the show and we tell them how much profit we made, and then we re-gift it to lucky viewers in some capacity.
It's going to be interesting to see how that goes, because if we're announcing what we've paid for it, so we paid $10 for this 1984 signed footy record, and now we want to sell it to you, Magoo's community, for $25.
No, not sell it. We'll gift it, but I just, we could also have that angle of we got the person down to $8, and it's still yours for free, so it's still out of the Magoo's pocket, which we'll have to talk to the marketing team about.
Seems like we're leaking money.
We are so far in the show, yeah.
It's just one big.
But
one
I've
big
got this 1960s footy record, and I've been having a quick look through it, and there might be more to talk about on next week's show for the granny, which I can't wait for. It's going to be bloody exciting.
Yeah.
I haven't read it back to front, but it is a yarn. Some of the ads in here are fantastic. Just like going back to 1960, like this one is This one, this is just a footy ad in a record, just saying only $20 deposit for this stylish three-bedroom home built on your own land. So if you know, do you know Viscount Homes or Viscount Trailers? The old,
no.
The old, your armor big caravan guy these days. So
yeah,
I know Mr. a lot caravan. About the Viscount. But they were selling three-bedroom homes back then. So you had to have the land, which, you know, lucky buggers.
You just put a stake in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, all up, the homes were $2,645, but only needed a $20 deposit to put it on your land.
$20. Well, it's still, what's that? It's not 10%, is it? $20. It's much less than that. It's 1%.
Much less, yeah.
It's 1%. 1%. Imagine 1%.
Under 1%. It's about 0.9 something. It's incredible. Not much. It's fantastic. But I found this, so August 6, 1960, there was this in the record about the Brownlow voting. And the heading is suspended players and Brownlow voting. It's more like it's like a PSA back then. There was some confusion obviously going on. It states, it has been incorrectly stated on two successive occasions in a radio football session that umpires will not award Brownlow medal votes to a player who has been suspended and then resumes playing. So like the next week after they've been suspended. The league has given a definite instruction on the matter to Mr. Harry Clayton, the umpire's advisor. The fact that a player has been suspended does disqualify him from any chance of winning the Brownlow medal. So that's been a rule for obviously quite a while. And all votes he receives are forfeited, but umpires are specifically instructed to disregard the fact that a player has been suspended when allotting votes in later games. So there you go. So there was obviously at some stage they were not giving them votes because they'd been suspended.
See, that's valuable. That's valuable intel, and I think that there would be a collector out there who might like that. I mean, I've personally one of the things I can think about that I've got, actually, it's not quite within my my reach, but I've got two things that I think are valuable footy-wise. But in saying that, I've just gone on Facebook Marketplace, typed in AFL to see what came up.
Okay.
AFL football St Kilda 12 Rewald plush doll for $10.
That is that's exactly what I'm talking about. And there's a few more Saints fans out there.
It's been listed 4 hours ago in Clayton. The photo's even blurry. The second photo's real blurry. So it must be in a rush. They have to get rid of it. I reckon we can get him down to $5.
Absolutely. $10 for a Nick Rewald.
Mulgrave area only, cash only.
Yeah. So the whole COVID times is a bit hard, but we could flesh this idea out and get something more out of it.
Yeah, so I've got a grand final, a footy record still in the case from the from the drawn grand final in 2010. And I've got the replay one too. I was selling them at the time, so I made sure I purchased a couple. And I've also got a Dick Reynolds, your boy. I've got a signed lithograph. What do you call it? What's a lithograph? That's all right.
Not too sure.
I don't think it's what it is, but it's a big, like, it would look really nice if it was framed. I won it when I was about 9, and then Dick Reynolds died the next week, I think. So it's a big frame, a big poster, like limited edition, one of 500 that were ever made, and it's personally signed by Dick. So if there's any Essendon fans out there that might be interested in that, I have seen a few doing the rounds on eBay and stuff. Obviously, the 500 made, and I won it in a contest. So
I was going to ask. Okay, obviously, it wasn't.
Yeah. I think Dad entered me in a contest when I was a young fella, and one day this big cylinder arrived from Essendon and thought it was a bomb. But yeah, so I'm also happy to get rid of them if someone wants to buy. Not really the record. The record's pretty cool, but the Dick Reynolds thing can go. So if anyone's interested in that, they can have it. But I certainly won't be now that I know what your plan is, I won't be haggling with you so you can give it away. Because if it's worth $400 and you've all of a sudden give me, actually, I might take $20 for it. Let's take it offline.
The Magoos.
Benny, let's get into the serious stuff. I know that, you know, we do have a bit of fun. You know, it's important to have fun.
Oh, we're trying to have fun, particularly when you're sick and pale. I'm actually blending in with the background right now, just quietly.
You need to go see a doctor. There's
Don't worry about that.
No, you need to see a better one. Did this doctor push you in the back?
No. Yes, he did.
Yeah, maybe we could get some maybe we could zoom in a doctor for some telehealth consultation potentially.
But a lot of ideas coming from this one. I like it.
Huge, huge. But so it's now prelim final weekend, Ben, which means we've only got a couple of shows to go, really, because footy's coming. Oh, that was a bit of a celebratory. We've only got a few shows to go, but that's okay. So what we saw on the weekend was probably what we thought was going to happen, but maybe not in the manner that we thought it was going to happen. St Kilda and Richmond, I thought, was pretty much to script. Richmond were good. They bounced back. They did everything they needed to do to beat St Kilda, who had a couple of moments but were never really in the game.
Yeah.
And Saturday night, didn't Geelong just dismantle Collingwood?
Absolutely. How did you honestly – you are a bit of a confessed Geelong – not a fan, but you highly respect them, which is fine.
I buy into them.
Yeah. You buy into them. That's a good way of putting it. How did you see it? Did you see it just an absolute class display from Geelong, bit of burnout from Collingwood, bit of both? How did you see that?
Yeah, I'm usually pretty bullish on Collingwood too as a rule. I think their list is pretty strong, but I mean, it was the best of both worlds in terms of what you were saying. Geelong were as good as Collingwood were bad, and it just, you hate to see it in a final, I think, because, you know, it's a bit – does it turn into what sort of happened to GWS and what happened to Adelaide when you get trounced on a big stage like that? How much damage does it do? Maybe because it wasn't the grand final, maybe not as much. But, yeah, they'll have to lick their wounds for a while, I think, because, you know, they were – the scoreline flattered them, I think, in the end, which is which is a nasty thing to say. It's about
25 scoring shots.
Like, I mean, they just demolished them.
Yeah.
You know, in the shortened quarters, they've won by 10 goals and the scoreline flattered.
Because 4 goals to Hawkins, 4 to danger.
They just destroyed them. And Collingwood just looked like a team that had played their grand final the week before, I think. And, you know, we sort of spoke about how long can the team keep up, and I think they needed a motion to continue to be there, and they might have gone to the well in the first 10 minutes and nothing came back. So it'd be a disappointing way for Collingwood to end the season, obviously, but I think that it's about, given their injuries and where they've sort of sat and how their game style sort of affected the way they've gone about it. And
yeah, it's sort of unfair at the start of the year to say this is, we were aiming for top four in a grand final, and then to say that it's a failed season because their season turned to shit pretty quickly.
Yeah, and they lost a lot of people.
And to turn it around to actually make the finals in the end was a miniature victory, I would say.
Yeah, their game style now. I think Collingwood are really clear on what they need now, and I think that they need a big forward.
So we've spoken about the big fella a few times on this show. We've all had laughs with our guests, and then there was a couple of times where he kicked a few goals, and everyone's like, "Hang on, he actually is all right." Blah, blah, blah. I know on the weekend it's hard to judge because there wasn't much delivery and all that sort of thing, but if Collingwood, as you've said a million times in the show, their list is very, very good, and it's like it can win a premiership. They need to be fair dinkum though, and get a genuine tall forward, someone who can actually play footy. No disrespect to the big fella, he just won't.
At his best, Mason Cox is a number two. Look, and that's at his very best, which he's been for, what, 2 quarters of the last 3 years?
Yeah, like I know he hasn't played for quarters. Long, and Collingwood supporters are like, you know, give him a break. I'm not actually trying to, you know, start anything by even saying that. I just think the window for them is just, it's now.
It's Jeremy Cameron, I think, isn't it? And then to a lesser extent, it's probably Ben Brown.
Yep.
Ben Brown is a better Mason Cox in the sense that he is a little bit one-dimensional. But he's good when the ball movement's good, and if Collingwood can fix that up, I think that, I just don't think they're far away, and they can probably – and the thing is, you know, like, the jury's going to be out on Grundy now, but I think he'll be fine. Like, so he had a flat year, you know, like, how does, and I think that that's got to be the asterisk next to people is that, you know, well, maybe Hub Life didn't agree with them. Maybe, you know, there were circumstances and, you know, they weren't getting the best out of themselves. And, you know, like, yeah, it might be in people's minds for now that's might be a little bit of an excuse, or it might be a little bit, you know, like, this reasoning, I guess, is to, and, you know, for people who are looking for an out. But I think you have to be realistic with the fact that the circumstances wouldn't have suited everyone. You know, like you're away from people, you're, you know, locked in with people, all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, I think I saw that, something interesting, I think today about Jaden Stevenson, because he's copped a little bit of heat the last, you know, month or two. And when you put it down to how young he is, how many goals he's kicked versus games, hub life, glandular fever, which I actually can vouch for. I had it in year 10. I took a month and a half.
You gave it to half the girls in the year level, didn't you?
I don't know about that. Not my year level. No. the stuff that he's overcome for a 21-year-old is huge. And even he obviously had a quiet one as well, but you've got to back him in too.
I'm a rap for Stevenson. I think same. Like if someone, and you know, we speak about the salary cap and maybe he's someone that gets squeezed out, but I wouldn't be trading him.
No, not a chance.
I think that, you know, you got to give him a chance to.
To go is an interesting one because it seems like your boys are, considering the salary cap restrictions haven't come through yet, Carlton seem to be just flying with re-signings and potential signings.
Yeah. But, I mean, they've stockpiled this for a while. Degoe's not Carlton's man. Degoe's trick's probably as plain as a nose on your face, because if you're a Collingwood player and you say to Collingwood, Carlton, are going to give me $900,000, you have to come to the party, then Collingwood are going to do that. But I think it was more that, like, Degoe's camp trying to get a figure from Carlton to take back to be the bargaining arm. But I mean, if you believe what you read and what other people talk about, is that Carlton have still got another one to go, but they've paid 95% of the salary cap for the last 3 years. So they have been stockpiling to pay 105% in this next upcoming period. And I mean, people talk, I don't know, I just can't understand some of the lack of education, or the, or maybe it's people thinking they're smarter than everyone else, but people talking about, you know, like how these sort of Carlton deals could hamper re-signing Cripps. And it's like, they're not going to, like, there's no way that they would jeopardise that. No, there's just no possible way.
It's this time of the year. Is it, if it's journalists saying it, you know why they're doing it. And it's the same thing with Essendon. Like, I've been, you know, maybe I don't have an ear infection. Maybe I've just been MIA from just the hearing about muting Essendon on Twitter for the last week. But it's the same shit every year. I know we've got a couple blokes who want to leave, and I don't quite think it's as bad as what the media is laying it out to be. It's two blokes who wanted to leave last year, and obviously Sard's a new one, but who knows? It sounds like he may have his own prima donna ways, but that's something we'll talk about probably on a later episode. But it's just, you can't buy into all that. And I'll sit here and I'll tell you, I still don't get how salary caps work, and I don't get how individual caps and years and front loading and even free agency, I'm still don't get my head around, which is not good to say if you're a co-host on a footy podcast,
a sports broadcaster like yourself.
But that's why you're here, Jake. But it's like, yeah, I think there should almost be some sort of written rule that you're not allowed to talk about these things until the grand final is done. Let's just talk about the positive stories.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm quite interested in the trade stuff, but it's only because it's like positive at the moment for Carlton.
But like, if something's in stone, then yes. Like if so-and-so nominates Carlton, that's news. But the speculation and everything, when it turns out to be not true for most of the time, it's just we've said it before, but it's just people trying to keep their paycheck.
The Magoos.
I did give an opinion on Twitter the other day, Ben, and that is something that I'm happy to pass on to you too. Step One underwear is a big yes for me.
I did see that. I liked it, and I have been actually wanting to know the answer.
You've
got to,
mate. You've got to. Look, like,
we're getting the preview. I mean, they look like underwear, but that doesn't. Oh, I don't know what that feels like.
They are something else, my friend. If you are an active fella, no, that's. I wish they were. This because they're quite expensive. I wish they were, but no, I couldn't recommend more. So the good people at Step One,
no ride up thing. Is that legit?
My lord, is it legitimate?
No, this is good because like I often just buy the alpha setup from Kmart because I don't really have a big game in the men's underwear business. But Step One, you think?
Step One would definitely come with a huge endorsement from me, whatever that means to anyone out there. I've been a cotton man, you know, like just the Bonds undies for a long, long time. literally, I think it was peer pressure at school that I started wearing
Bonds. Bonds, they got the Australian market with sort of your Pat Rafters and stuff, but their underwear sucks.
It wears
like out. It stretches. Yeah, it's gross.
It's garbage.
Mind you, I've still got the same pairs from 5 years ago. But
yeah, literally. Step ones will change your life. I promise you.
How much are we looking for a single, or do they do packs?
I think it was they do packs, and the more you buy, the more you save. So I think I spent maybe $150 and got like seven pairs maybe. Yeah.
Big.
So I think that the value will come, once I wear them a few times and see how they hold up. Because
I would like you to retweet your tweet about step one in, say, 6 to 9 months' time, and let me know if they are still not riding up and if they're still holding up in the wash, those sort of things. Could you do that for me?
Happy to do that, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
The Magoos.
So with the semi-finals done and Collingwood out and St Kilda out, it means we've got the top four in the prelims.
Yeah.
I'm glad that these are the four.
The top four too, by the way. Yeah.
So, and seemingly they were the best four all season
too. Yeah.
The most consistent four, which is good. And I think that, it's just set up. I think that, as a Port Adelaide enthusiast from an early season prediction and maybe a small wager on them to do so, I think they beat Richmond.
Oh.
I do. I think that, the week
that's
off.
And huge.
They're just at home. Goal. They just.
It's not. Yeah. It definitely will not surprise me. I think, obviously, to make the grand final, we'll put it this way, they need to beat Richmond regardless. So if you beat them now.
They need to beat them now. Yeah, if they lose them now, they don't get another go at them.
Yeah, and it's almost like you may as well find out now than be found out on grand final day. Like, if you beat Richmond, then it's just like you guys are the real deal. And so are Brisbane. Brisbane have beaten Richmond as well. I think the Friday night game, Port versus Richmond, is you never want to jinx a grand final, because I think the grand final will be great anyway. But this game, because we saw it later in the home and away season, these two teams go at it. And it was just the most cracking game of the year that far.
I think Port at home after a week off, Richmond, that's definitely no disrespect to Richmond. I'm not saying Port Adelaide are going to blow them out of the water, but I just think that the chips are stacked so heavily in Port Adelaide's favour, which they've earned. So it's not like it's, that Richmond, they just might run out of puff.
You know what's going to happen though, and from an Essendon supporter's point of view, I won't mind it, but just from a general hatred of the way the media landscape is, if Richmond lose, it's just going to be a complete, has their antics off field caused this, and has, the sanctions and stuff that they've been having throughout the bubble, like it's just going to be all that narrative. So.
A season of turmoil. Were never going to win. All right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not either. I can't split these two. I cannot split them. I'll say the Tigers if we're tipping, because you've said Port Adelaide. But interesting enough, Port Adelaide are favourites in this game, but Tigers are favourites for the flag. Go figure that out.
Is that right?
That is correct.
That's exceptional. That's very good stuff from you.
That's not from me. It was a friend of mine, Lucas, big fan of the show. He actually pointed that out, I think.
It's really interesting.
It might be just smaller pools versus bigger pools, that sort of thing. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, it's interesting. We padded then for a little bit. I just looked it up. They're not outright favourite. Brisbane are outright favourite currently. So Lucas might have been right earlier in the week, maybe. But, it's interesting. So Richmond are outsiders for this game, but are shorter than Port Adelaide to win the flag.
Sorry,
so
that was the statement. Which still,
it's still strange. Yeah, it doesn't really add up, does it? But anyway, that's not what we're here to discuss. We are here to discuss what's going to happen in the other prelim. Before we chat a little bit of Brownlow Medal stuff. Which is always fun. Brisbane Geelong, this is where I see the upset coming, Ben. This is where I see
This is where I see the cat.
I wish my good friend and your good friend slash enemy Daniel O'Kelly was on this right now to hear you say this. Enemy. Because that is just – it's unfair to Brisbane. They have – they showed against Richmond that they're not a joke. They're here. They have arrived.
Yeah.
And you know what? We said it about Collingwood. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think even though they absolutely spanked the Pies, I think Geelong's played their grand final.
Interesting. It's interesting. I've just seen Brisbane be, I'm not going to say taken apart, but, I mean, you know that I'm not sold on Brisbane. And they played very, very well, in fairness, against Richmond. They did a lot of things right and took every opportunity they had. Earlier in the year, I know it's a while ago, but Geelong was seemingly had them, you know, covered for that whole second half of that game that they played them. And I just think that, you know, last week, you know, we sort of had the sense of maybe Collingwood were up and they were so far up that that was it. That was their peak. But I think now that Geelong are like, now we're ticking. We haven't peaked. We're ticking now. We're continuing to build because we're going to be playing our best football come grand final day. So Jake, I just think that they get over them.
You might be right. I hope you're wrong overall, because what you're telling me is you're predicting a Port Adelaide versus Geelong grand final. And let me tell you, more than happy for Port Adelaide to make it, but if it's those two teams combined, that's just, from a narrative point of view, for me, boring. Boring. Okay. I want to see either – I think I'd love to see Brizzy in there. Yeah, it's got to – Brizzy has to get in there because it's I don't know. I just don't think they're ready.
I don't think that Brisbane are ready.
So much more exciting if they make it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't think that they'll make it. I'm happy. I've got no qualms with Brisbane.
Yeah, I know.
It's just what I think will occur. So, but I mean, it's hard to back against Brisbane, and I think, you know, what we spoke about last week, in terms of the qualifying final losers, all of a sudden, you know, being cooked, and you know they'll never bounce back, and then they always do, and they did. You might sort of forget the form of the qualifying final winners over there. So you don't want to get too taken up with what you saw last week, which is what I'm sort of doing with Richmond, but doing the opposite with Geelong, because I think that.
You're just picking the theory that's going to suit for the time.
It is contradictory, but I think that Geelong should have beaten Port Adelaide is what I think. I think that if they had kicked straight, they would have beaten Port Adelaide.
Yeah,
And they seemably had control of the game more than Port, and then Port took their chances and that was all she wrote. So, I don't know. I'm feeling a Port Adelaide-Geelong grand final, and then that'll be the...
I think I said it after week one of the finals in my opinion, I thought it was going to be a grand final preview was Richmond Brisbane.
We're opposites.
Unbelievable game, and I thought both of them just had so much ticker, and Port Adelaide have it too, and I'll give Geelong credit, they do as well. But that's the game, the outcome I'm hoping for, or a Port Adelaide Brisbane, just so it's like all Vic fans can just chill out for once.
Yep. Now, Benny, we haven't had any special guests this week. It's because we're building to something big for grand final week. So, and you've got
what
a story.
You got?
So
you haven't told me anything.
No,
we've got heaps planned. Can we give anything away? Then.
No prizes to give away.
Hugh Jackman. I don't mind any names.
No, Hugh Jackman refuses
Russell Crowe
to take my calls. Less likely. He's more of a league man, I think, rugby league.
Eric Banner. Did you see Eric Banner? He tweeted happy about the umpiring on
Eric,
the weekend.
He turned into
all of us.
I actually looked into Eric Banner a few weeks ago in St Kilda in the finals but his DMs were closed. So, Eric, you're never going to get in the show if your DMs
You know
are
what
closed
you should do? You should get a footy record from the 1960s that have St Kilda referenced in it, send it to his PO box, and have a little PS come on the Magoos.
And then give our bank details so he can transfer us $7.
Yeah, but we bought it for $6.
You can't go broke making a profit.
The Magoos.
Which Olympic sport do you think you'd be best at if given 1 year, 365 days to
Is lawn bowls an Olympic sport?
Oh, good one. I think it is.
Because I reckon I'd be all right at that. I'm quite, I don't know if lanky would help, but I have this natural sort of, I'm a good dancer too, and I know dancing has nothing to do with lawn bowls before you jump.
Couldn't have less to do with it.
I think it does in the sense that sort of you have this sort of free flow, you know, this nice bend where you just sort of glide, you know. It's not forced. You definitely don't need to be fit. And I apologize to any fit lawn bowlers out there who think you do, but you don't. If Shane Warne doesn't need to be fit to be the greatest bowler of all time, I don't think you need to be fit to lawn bowl when you don't have to chase it or anything like that. But I reckon lawn bowling, Jake, I think if that's an Olympic sport, I'd put my name up for that. 365 days, 15 hours a day with the best coaches. Sign me up.
On the 22nd of June 2015, it was announced that bowling made the cut from the 28 sports to the last 8 to become a new sport for the 2020 Summer Olympics. So it featured in the 1988 Seoul Games, but that was the only time it was an Olympic sport. The shortlist of these sports for consideration were based on applications from 26 international sport federations, many of which have applied for inclusion in previous Olympic tournaments. However, in September of 2015, it was announced that bowling, together with wushu and squash, were left out for 2020. The 2020 Olympic Committee wanted sports that appeal to youth and would not require building new facilities to reduce costs. So lawn bowls is out because it was a really good suggestion.
You know what that tells me about the Olympics, Jay? If they're trying to make changes for the youth and stuff, that you have already lost.
I can't imagine anyone, any youth that's in between the ages of 13 and 17 being interested in any Olympics.
I totally agree. I watch the basketball because I like basketball. And look, you watch the major ones, if you know Usain's running in the 100 or whatever. You watch those, you pencil those in, but for everything else, I haven't watched the Olympics in, geez, at least 3.5 years.
See, I quite like it, but I find a whole range of different sports to get into. But, yeah, if we're talking about, you know, like what are they going to put in paintball or something to try and get the kids of today watching? Like, it's not going to happen.
Well, forget the kids. I think they've done stuff like that. Like, I think skating might be in there as well, like skateboarding or –
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Similar X-style game sort of sports. I just think the Olympics is just, I know you watch it and I know it still gets watched a lot, but that they've been in a steady decline. When we're talking about the world, I think they've been in a steady decline.
The Magoos.
The Brownlow is Sunday night, Ben. And
is it?
Yeah, it's Sunday this year. I mean...
What made them change it to Sunday? It's always been Monday, hasn't it?
I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming just the fact that it's virtual.
Yeah.
Like the teams that are out the day before don't necessarily have the quick turnaround because they're not going to be in attendance.
Okay.
But so Lachie Neale's now $1.25. I tipped you and everyone else into him at $7. So we're all sitting pretty. But if there's one from out wide, who can it be who wins it?
Well, I feel like if I say this name, it's going to beat you to the punch, but I think Trav Bogue.
Nah, that's not as out wide as I
Oh, sorry. I mean. Yeah, you meant a roughie. No, yeah.
I mean, that's fair enough because he's $7. And if I can't say I'm a genius for tipping Neale at $7 and then bag you for tipping Bogue at $7. But
now, I'm not going to lie. You have brought this segment to my attention now and only now. So I have not prepped for this at all. I want to hear what you've got to say. Yeah.
I think that at $26, and again, we don't gamble responsibly, I think Dustin Martin, I just think that, like, sheets. I mean, I don't think he can win it, but if Neale was to, I don't know, all the votes are already done, so I was going to say something go miss, but he can't, but because I'm so confident in Lachie Neale, but you just never know with the umpires sometimes. I think Dustin Martin might be the one. I mean, he hasn't had his greatest season of all time, but he's a three vote man. And you know, if there's a few games when Neil gets ones when he should get threes for some bizarre reason, he's the only one I can make a case for. Obviously, Boak's had a stellar season and Tracker as well. I don't think Jack Steele will get as many votes as people think. He's a great player, deserved St Kilda best.
It almost happens a year after they should. Yep. That sort of it's because you're right. The umpires are only human, and as we found out, I think yesterday, old Razor not getting another cap for the last two games, which. You know, say what you want about
it's the
him,
way it
but,
goes.
It's the way it goes. If you can't bounce a footy, there you go. That's like us not getting our microphones to work, which happens actually most weeks, but that's not here nor there. Dusty polls so well, doesn't he?
If there's one out wide, it'd probably be him. But look, I think that it's the night that all my subscribers fill their pockets on Lachie Neale. So again, gamble responsibly. It's too late. You missed the price anyway. But. Yeah, that'll be a nice way to settle into your Sunday.
Oh, Jay, you've been so confident, and you talk about this Lachie Neale thing at least every other week, if not more than that. It's almost running at 1.5, just about. Who, if you're this, you know, crystal ball, you've said Lachie Neale for the Brownlow very early in, and you've said Port Adelaide top two right during the summer before the first bounce. I want to get your 2021 season predictions. Oh,
couldn't possibly, could I? I should. Should I?
actually, 2023. Let's go right down the track.
2021. It's an interesting.
You think there's going to be a surprise packet? I know you like to think your boys will pop into the top eight.
Count them at the finals next year.
Oh, if you believe the hype, absolutely. I think they'll shit the bed they will every year.
Oh, I tell you, don't get us started. We're just coming to the end of the show. Don't get me started on why that would be a provocative statement. I think next year Brisbane will be very close to being ready. If Joe Danaher is fit.
Just playing a prelim at home right this week.
I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen. This year I tipped your Port from out wide. And now I'm tipping you someone who I think is going to be. Do you want me to tell you who's going to win, or do you want me to tell you who?
Jay, I feel like your tone's changed since I made the Carlton call.
Sydney, you're
going to
win the
flag,
Ben. Shove your podcast.
Sydney, all right.
No, not Sydney. It'll be Brisbane. I think Brisbane will be. I think that this preliminary final loss this week will harden them, and they'll just. You know, your McCluggages, your Rainers, your Berries, these guys are just going to be another year older, stronger, faster, wiser. A few more finals under their belt, a finals win under their belt.
LeBron James-esque, like those finals losses when he was younger really just has made him just obviously arguably the GOAT.
It's not arguably for mine, but...
I'm not.
I would be offended. I enjoy basketball and I follow the NBA and stuff, but not to the point where I could sit there and I wouldn't want to. I know you're a big NBA fan, but I wouldn't like to insert myself into that debate. Even though I think he is the greatest of all time, I couldn't sit down and have that conversation.
I don't have it either. I don't have it.
I feel like I'd be doing an injustice to people who genuinely follow, live, and breathe basketball. Like if someone was to come and tell me that. Who's a great AFL player? Say a name.
Joe Danaher.
That Dustin Martin wasn't in the top five players in the comp. I could be like, well, this is why he is, baby mate. But like with LeBron and MJ, I'm sort of like, them both.
I say that.
I think LeBron's the best ever. And I mean, 2020's been a great year for GOATs because Taylor Swift started it with one of the great albums of all time, Folklore. And
haven't heard a song. Mustn't be that good.
Poor Ben, I tell you, you are doing yourself a disservice, my friend. And now LeBron's got another ring. Lachie Neale's going to grab himself a Brownlow.
On the debate though, like I honestly don't debate it either. But I was thinking about murals for the van. That's obviously. And by the way, it's starting to come along. Couldn't work it on the weekend because I have been ill. But I was thinking in terms of a cool mural would be. LeBron and MJ standing there with so quite close to each other with the old El Paso girl sitting on both of their shoulders.
Who are you going to commission to do this mural?
I know a few local artists.
You're really going out all out on this van.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't I?
Can we flip it?
I'm not flipping the van.
Yeah, well, we should. We were talking about earlier in the show. That's the perfect opportunity. We'll make it a footy van.
Yeah, but I'm not putting my blood, sweat, and tears into a 1960s footy record or a blow-up doll of Nick Riewoldt.
That's fair enough. Look, I like it, Ben. I like it. And I reckon that, I mean, it's just great sometimes you and me, we can just sit down and talk. And I think we've covered what's going to happen. We've got two completely opposite opinions, so there's no doubt that it'll probably land somewhere in the middle. And we'll probably have a Richmond Geelong grand final or a Port Brisbane grand final. But either way, one of us will be right next week. There's no way that we come back.
In some capacity, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. In some capacity.
That's we'll the way be, we like to play right. it, even, absolutely, even field. Absolutely.
Yep, no preparation. We just always come together, don't we? So, Ben, fantastic as always. It was nice to chat with you. I hope the year gets better. All the Magoo supporters and viewers out there, thank you so much again. It's been a big couple of weeks for the show on the socials. Make sure you keep liking, sharing, subscribing. There's plenty of good content to delve back into as well. So we appreciate all the support and we'll see you for grand final week. How good.
Ooh.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.